What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of The Awesome Village. I'm Greg, and joining me is...
Ryan.
Glenn.
And John.
So, guys, what did we do this past week?
I went to Margaritaville.
Oh, that's true. You did.
Yeah.
Did you waste away?
I forgot to follow up with you about how that trip was.
It was good. It was good. You know, we had the Mardi Gras.
Did you find your long-lost shaker of salt?
As a matter of fact. No,
You found her before.
Right? Yeah, that's right. But, no, they're down in, Biloxi, there's the Margaritaville Family Resort. And it's generally pretty expensive, but I guess right now, since it's a little colder, it's their off-season, so...
Do they actually have a casino there, or is it just...
No,
it's just like a game room?
It's just a resort and casino.
Yeah, no, it's just a... it's a giant game room. However, it does share a parking lot with the Golden Nugget. So if you want to gamble, it's right there. So you don't even have to get your car out. But, yeah, they were running a pretty good deal for a two-night stay. So we decided to get out of town and brought Felicity on a little road trip. Man, it was awesome. She had a great time. We relaxed. The room is huge. And I guess because it's Margaritaville, it's, like, scented. Like, it smells like coconut everywhere.
Felicity handled the drive pretty good.
Oh yeah, she was fine.
Really?
We got the little DVD player and we just put Puppy Dog Pals on.
That would make it easy for me.
Yeah. You like the Puppy Dog Pals?
I mean, I would be fascinated to watch it.
For
40-minute drive.
So have you never seen that show?
I don't. Rolling.
I don't think I have. My kids are getting a little older, where they're not watching that kind of stuff.
And Hissy and Kia is the new dog, but she was fine with the drive. And then when we got there, we hooked her up to her little leash thing, and she ran from one end of that game room to the next, and we chased after her. In fact, at one point, some guy stopped me and said, "I don't get into any of your business, but I've been watching you and your wife, and boy, y'all getting a workout in, huh?"
I don't know if that kind of creeps me out. Dude's watching you?
I mean, I guess we were just going from one end to the next.
Was skee-ball played?
Absolutely. Skee-ball was played. They had a thing where you threw beanbags into...
Did you win a skee-ball?
We did pretty good.
I don't know why it's called this, but that's the cornhole game, when you throw the beanbags into the thing? Yeah. Why do they call it cornhole? Cornhole is something
Watch out for
else.
Your... Watch out for,
it's like throwing a beanbag in someone's butt.
Yeah, watch out for your cornhole, bud. Because they give you, like, a little reloadable, like, debit card where you put all your game, like, kind of like Dave & Buster's does, but when you play the stuff for... instead of printing out tickets to exchange for prizes, they put the tickets electronically on your card.
Yeah, Dave & Buster's did that too.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, we had a good...
one thing. When we went to Dave & Buster's that one time I've been, they're very generous with those tickets though, because like there was some stuff I got, I was like, man, I can't believe it wasn't like the little eraser or whatever.
They had some pretty. We ended up not getting anything. We're just going to bank them. One thing that kind of, they had a, I think it was something like 139,000 points. They had a little Mjolnir that was signed by Stanley.
Oh,
but they had big things like that. But they had a lot of little things that you could probably get on Oriental Trading for 75 cents. But
so my question is, how was the margaritas?
They were pretty good. They're pretty well. We went. There's three restaurants there. There's the Doe's, which is kind of the upscale steakhouse, which we did not go to. Then there's Land Sharks, which is the sports bar, and then the Margaritaville.
Is it like the one that was here for a while?
Kinda, yeah. It's a little bigger, and there's a each one I think has a different Jimmy Buffett song that like is their specialty. Like this one is the Volcano is the song he does, and because down in the game room there's a giant like rock climbing thing that looks like a volcano, and it goes into the restaurant. So when the volcano song plays, the volcano erupts.
We went down to the Margaritaville in New Orleans for somebody's...
It was Patrick's bachelor party.
And I remember the margaritas were like...
We got wasted.
Really strong. I mean, like...
It was like a glass of tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
because remember, we were all drinking it, and like we were trying to just... As every sip we took, we just kept topping it up with water.
Yes, because
it was just a full glass.
Barely, but I do remember that.
Yeah.
But, the Margaritaville place was fine. I mean, we split the Volcano Nachos, which are really good.
That sounds good.
It's an appetizer, but we were completely full after we ate them. The Land Sharks place, the drinks were fine. The food, I wasn't all that impressed with. We ordered a pizza, and...
It's just sports bar food.
Yeah, but I wouldn't describe this thing we got as a pizza. It was more like an open-faced, tomato sauce taco. The crust was so thin it tasted like a tortilla, and it was just canned tomato sauce.
Now it's a tostada.
Yeah, basically. But it's a fun place to go. I mean, it's okay. I wish it was a little warmer because we went out because they actually opened the pool, which I don't know why because it was cold outside.
Well, you say it was you. I guess my question is, if it had been full price, would you have been as pleased with the experience?
Sure. I mean, I love that place. It's fun.
But you've been there before?
Yeah, we went there for Mardi Gras 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It just, I think it's a little overpriced for, like, rooms. But, like, if you were just go there and, like, a day trip and stay at one of the casinos for cheap, that would have been fine, too. It's, like I said, it's, like, your boys would love it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The only thing, if you need to be staying at the resort to use the pool. And it's a cool pool. It's got a lazy river and two big water slides out there.
It's right up my alley.
Yeah. It's a fun little place.
I like slides.
I know. I remember how hard it was to get you to actually go on the slide.
And then once you...
It was a joyous time.
That's right. I followed Tyler Durden's advice.
So, did anyone else do anything fun this past week?
Not really.
No.
I avoided Mardi Gras this year. It was just...
I came close to fully avoiding it, but I decided to start driving on the side for Uber Eats just to have, you know, make a little extra cash flow, and I decided to just do it in little 2-hour increments and whatnot. I know there's like a lot of boosts that were going on Mardi Gras, and I figured, you know, I'd just do the lunch rush really quickly, and I would have done more than 2 orders during that time, but the second order, the pickup took me through a parade route, and I got kind of stopped up. And it took me like an hour to deliver this poor girl's food. So yeah, I didn't get to do more than the 2 deliveries there. But I still had a good week as far as the cash.
Yeah, I went and rode with you.
Yeah, Glenn came with me Mardi Gras evening. And we told Ryan the story, and I think we may have mentioned this to you. But the person ordered food from a place called Easy Pizza. And we go to the address, and I'm like, we don't see the place, whatnot. There's just this gas station there. So Glenn waited in the car, and I walked inside to kind of maybe get some directions or whatnot. When I walk in this place, in the gas station by the past the register is in the back Easy Pizza. It's a little stand inside the gas station. But that's not all that's in the gas station. In the gas station is also a shoe store and a vape shop.
Everything you need.
And a place that fixes cell phones. And then there was some more where you can get like some other kind of food in there.
That's what, in New Orleans, gas stations are so crazy. You get po' boys and
ribs.
It just fascinated me. Like, I walked in, it was like a strip mall inside the gas station. Like, this is crazy.
Sounds like some sort of a weird bazaar.
It was bizarre, all right.
You walk in, it's like that scene from Aladdin.
Were you jealous of this person that they got this pizza? Did it look good?
No, okay. So it looked like a pizza that you would get out of the frozen food section of Sam's that they just kind of put some more toppings on.
It was a Tony's.
Now, that being said, they did have like a whole setup where it looks like they were making stuff themselves. But like the actual end product, it's very easy to make, apparently.
Hence, Easy Pizza.
You see what they did there?
So let's just kind of dive right in here. Let's talk a little bit about some television then.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I did not get a chance to see this, and I'm kind of upset because I do love Ricky Gervais a lot. But Ryan got to see the first episode, and John got to see all of Afterlife on Netflix.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, like,
The whole thing was so good.
If you hadn't sent us the message that we should check it out, I didn't even know it came out. I never even heard of it.
And it's about this guy who's been married for about 25 years. He didn't have any kids, and like his wife was just like his favorite person on earth, and she had gotten breast cancer and she passed away. And now he's just living his life where he's been considering committing suicide, but then he just said, you know what, I'm just going to live, but I'm just going to do whatever I want and say whatever I want, because what's the worst that can happen? I'll just kill myself. So he's just, you know, and that sounds pretty grim, obviously. And he goes around and he says and does some kind of messed up things.
Yeah, I really, I'm gonna only watch the first episode.
It's very funny. It's very Ricky Gervais humor, but I mean, it's got a lot of heart to it. I mean, there's episodes where you'll laugh out loud, and then in the same episode you'll be almost in tears. And he's that way in the show. I mean, he'll be almost in tears when he's talking to people about his wife. And it was very, very touching.
You've seen him show that range before. There's a lot of projects that he does that aren't necessarily comedies. Invention of Lying is like that, where it was an interesting concept, but it has more dramatic elements to it than I thought would.
And it was a the one thing that really got to me, and he's kind of in tears when he's saying it, and it's because you know it's well known that Ricky Gervais is an atheist, and he gets a lot of flack for that, and he keeps on saying he kind of wants to kill himself just so that he can be with her again, and somebody's like, well, you're an atheist, you don't believe in the afterlife, and he's like pulling back tears saying, but I'd rather be nowhere with her than anywhere without her. Ooh. And it's like I was like, oh my gosh,
that's just deep.
Yeah, and deep. It was just. I thought it was just very well done. I mean, it's only 6 episodes that are about 25 minutes long each. I mean, you can watch it in one sitting if you want to.
I find myself in the first episode, I was laughing constantly.
Yeah.
He gets approached by these hooligans who try to rob him, and they're like, "Give me all your money," and he's like, "Why?"
Yeah.
And they're like, "Well, because we're gonna fucking kill you," and he's like, "You know, I guess that probably works with most people."
Yeah.
It was really funny, Ricky Gervais. I've never seen him too much in many films, but he's got some depth and some acting abilities, and kind of surprised just in the first episode.
Yeah,
very impressed.
I would highly recommend it.
It's Netflix.
Yeah, yes. Netflix.
There was another show that, again, I have not got to watch any of this season. But
what have you been doing?
Other things.
I mean, we're 2 episodes in. You haven't seen nothing yet.
No.
I mean, last week I saw a ton of shit.
I'm just busting your
chops. Clearly. But John got to watch the finale and the last episode of Emmy Rossum's Shameless.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really going to go. I mean, nobody really knows nobody here has seen any of this season. So, I mean, all the characters have their own arc, as usual. And they all go in their different hilarious ways. But Emmy Rossum decided to leave the show. So they wrote Fiona out of it. And she just... It was a very nice send off at the end, and I mean Emmy Rossum has done a great job through this entire show. She's
did her first directing gig.
And I mean it seems like she's had her highs and lows, because it seems like the one thing that show does, and they do it well, is they're so dysfunctional, but like as soon as one of them gets their shit together, somebody else crashes.
Yeah,
and so I mean, she's had her times where she's held everybody up, and then she's had times when she's bringing everybody down.
Well, it's based off of a British show, and in the British show, her character leaves at the end of the first season anyway. So it's been kind of interesting to see them keep that same character and kind of what they do to it. But she's always been, you know, the story of the show is basically she's the one that kept the family together with the alcoholic, narcotic induced father.
Yeah.
And she had to be the mom and didn't have a childhood because of it. So it's been interesting kind of seeing that back and forth. In the past few seasons, she's almost kind of touched normalcy.
Yeah.
And kind of flirted with that. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah. And William H. Macy, as always, has just been phenomenal.
Why do people keep calling him that, Glenn?
His name's Jerry Lundegaard.
Oh, what the Christ.
do his line from Air Force One.
It was you?
And then he dies immediately.
Worst last line of a character possibly in movie history.
The final season, speaking of final things, of Game of Thrones will be airing. We'll get 6 90-minute movies from them coming in April.
On my birthday it starts. I'm so psyched.
I love the way you said it, too.
Well, I mean, just because...
My birthday, it starts.
Well, because they made a big deal of flashing the exact date, April 14th. That's when it's going. And I was like, they give me a birthday present.
So, what did you think of the trailer?
Got a little semi. It looks really good. I mean...
So you had a semi-semi.
Semi-semi. It's kind of funny. Not really. I mean, just the way they've gone from season one to now. They're sparing no expense anymore with this show.
They're John Hammoning this.
There was some person that said something to the effect of that the final battle in the show rivals Helm's Deep.
That's insane.
Yeah, so I'm, it's kind of got me curious.
I mean, it's a good trailer, and I like that it didn't show too much.
It didn't.
Well, we were talking about that at work, and it's almost like watching one of those Next on Mad Men.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I have no idea what's going to happen.
And for some, I really liked they put out that like motion poster of all the characters sitting on the throne. For some reason, that got me kind of excited, too.
That was like before the show premiered, there was that all the shots of people on the throne.
So will you be upset if it ends with anyone other than Jon Snow on the throne?
I mean, I honestly don't think that there'll be a throne at the end of it.
Oh, that's a good...
I think we're kind of looking at it the wrong
way. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Because the whole show has been about who's going to, you know...
It'll be a bittersweet ending. Yeah. I mean, it might very well be like, you know, the Wildlings, for example, have a better way of doing it. So, that, you know, it might be that it's a democracy after.
But then Joaquin Phoenix kills whoever's in charge.
So, yeah, I mean, I honestly, I have, at this point, it's moved past the books. And one of the things George R. R. Martin said recently is that he's kind of upset and dealing with the fact that it's going to end before the books do.
Well, he should get off his ass and finish the books.
Well, that's why he turned down a cameo in the final season so that he could focus on writing the book. So even with that pace, there's seven books. The sixth one hasn't even come out yet.
So when this show started, however many years ago, how many books has he released in that?
There were four books. The show started. The fifth one came out like after the first or second season.
And it's been about, what, 8 years?
Well, after the first book, Game of Thrones, there was, I think, 10 years between that and the second book.
Like when he originally wrote it?
Right, before it was even, you know...
I'm just thinking, like, in the time frame from when the show premiered to where we are now, how many novels has he released?
You're basically talking about their... On season 8, so it's probably been it's been 8 years since the last one was published.
Yeah, so, geez. He's got to write faster.
Yeah.
Although, he did tell the showrunners, like,
the end, right?
The way that they got his go-ahead to do the show was they had to answer a couple of questions. They had to, one of the things they had to tell him who Jon Snow's parents were and why, and they answered correctly. And then what he did is he gave him an outline of all the major things that were going to happen. And from what he said so far, like basically they've hewn pretty close to it. They're going to change minor things and whatnot. So I'm kind of what we're seeing. I mean, there are characters at this point in the books that aren't in the show and vice versa. I mean, this whole people that I think they would have taken too much time putting them in the show if they did. It would have veered things off. But yeah, it's
best show on TV.
And then after that, Benioff and Weiss, they're going to tackle Star Wars when they're done.
What are they going to do?
No one really knows. Just they're doing a trilogy of movies.
Yeah, there's rumors of like public stuff, movies. But it's all rumors. Yeah.
Well, they're developing it. I don't know who's going to direct it or whatever, but there it's Benioff and Weiss.
I read some kind of rumor about a Knights of the Old Republic.
They would be perfect for that
thing. Well, they didn't. Of course, it's everything with Star Wars is rumors.
I just literally said that right before you said
he did.
That.
I was just. I wanted to talk a little bit more about it.
Was that the rumor that you heard?
No, I wanted to ask you about the stuff I was reading. Like they were talking. Somebody actually was saying that they would rather them release more games about the Knights of the Old Republic, and someone was saying that it would be great as if it was animated, but as long as it wasn't for kids.
Yeah, I mean, I could see all that. Glenn and I had a very good conversation on the drive the other night. We were talking about that, and it's one of the things. It's a lot like Star Trek in that you'll never see them go beyond where the main movies are timeline wise. And I kind of think like that's people want to see kind of what happens after, but then that puts the story kind of set in stone, which is why like The Mandalorian takes place in that kind of area between.
But then again, like if they set it 1,000 years before,
right? Yeah. There's a little more, and that's a time we haven't seen. So it'll be, you know,
like the creation of the Jedi and the Sith.
Yeah, I think people really want to see that kind of stuff for Star Wars.
If they did it pre-Rule of Two, and you saw a bunch of Sith versus a bunch of Jedi, that'd be a, you know.
I mean, what if they did Darth Bane and the whole creation of Rule of Two? That's right up there, Alan.
Yeah. But you said best show on television, referring to Game of Thrones. Did you know we were going to talk about Cobra Kai?
he has said before that it was the best first season of a show.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't...
Do you think it's better than the first season of Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah. But let me preface that by saying, if you're a fan of The Karate Kid, then you have to think Cobra Kai is the best show of all time.
So if you're an American.
Right. And they released...
And the real Karate Kid, not the Jaden Smith
one. Oh, yeah. Greg doesn't even acknowledge
that. Is it just me, or does it just piss you off every time you're going through, like, your guide on your TV? You're like, oh, The Karate Kid, and you turn on and it's that.
The same thing.
It's not karate.
The same thing with Point Break.
Point Break.
Yeah. The new trailer looks really good. I'm a little concerned there's not as much Johnny in the trailer, because he was what
put
made...
Put him in a body bag?
I hope not. Betsy Kreese.
Yeah.
Deliver his great line.
Elizabeth Shue needs to be in the season.
I've heard rumors she is in it. She has to because
They like didn't let you know Kreese was going to be in until the very end. So.
But there was that scene with Johnny and
that was my favorite scene in the whole.
Yeah, in the bar when they're talking.
That was my favorite sequence in that whole season.
The fuck is a Facebook? YouTube's going to get my money very soon, without question.
I mean, if they release it like all at once, like they did before.
Well, I read something that they were saying doing something where if you pick it with ads, it might be like 99 cents or something.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Maybe like, they won't get as much as money, my money as I thought.
I mean, if you want to sit through an ad every now and again.
Yeah. The fuck I got to do? I can't sit for 90 seconds and watch something about...
I mean, Google's trying to do new revenue streams. Like, they're actually... apparently, it's rumored they've even have patents that have been filed for it for a game console. And they've been partnering with, like, Ubisoft and Sega.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
But
if you haven't watched Cobra Kai, wait. At this point, you might as well wait. And then just watch the whole first two seasons when the season two comes out.
It's easy to binge, too. It's shorter.
I watched the first season like three times.
And in the free-month trial?
In the free-month trial. I watched the whole series like three times.
Well, speaking of something else that you watched, Ryan, you went to the cinema.
Yeah, well, there was one major film that came out. And I figured all you guys went and saw it. So I was like, you know what? Let's... I decided to go see Greta, which I didn't know anything about. I just had heard some people talking that it looked pretty good, so I went and checked it out.
It had a creepy trailer.
Yeah, it was a creepy movie. So it's basically about this this girl named Frances. She's new to New York, and the movie opens with her going through her daily routine. And one of the times on the subway, she sees a purse, like a very nice purse, I guess, just sitting on a seat on the subway. So she picks it up, brings it home, and she goes through it, and her friend is trying to convince her, oh, keep it. Keep the money, keep everything, whatever. But Frances is a nice person. She ends up looking up information about the woman and her information and finds out that it belongs to a woman named Greta. So she returns the purse to said Greta. And it's an old lady, but...
named Greta?
As kind of cliched as the story is, Frances recently has lost her mother. So now she sort of sees this, like, a motherly figure coming into her life. So she sort of, kind of befriends Greta. Just, like, you know, some casual meetings here and there, just trying to be friends. And things get a little creepy when one day Frances comes over for dinner. And Greta asks her to go get something out of one of the closets. And she goes into the wrong one and finds, like, six of these identical purses with, like, other women's names, like, taped to the purses with phone numbers and stuff, like as if she's running some kind of weird scam to meet all these random women all over the city. And it kind of freaked her out. So at this point, Frances tries to distance herself from Greta. And at this point, the shit gets real because Greta's going to have none of this being separated from Frances. And at that point, it becomes a very, very weird Fatal Attraction type of... It was weird because most of those movies involve like sexual... tension and stuff, whereas this is just basically about a woman, an old woman who's obsessed with having like some kind of daughter figure to have in her life and stuff. So it resorts to some B-movie cliches, but the acting is actually very good. I wouldn't say I was bored by it. You know, there isn't a one big epic like Gone Girl moment where you're like, okay, this woman's crazy. You pretty much realize once things start going bad, that this is something, this is going to get ugly. I would probably give it about 5.5 to 6. You know, I wouldn't say don't go see it. I wouldn't like rush to tell people you got to go see this movie. It's so good.
But it could be a wait for HBO.
Definitely a wait for HBO movie, and definitely like if you see it coming on HBO, you know, hit the record button, check it out when you get your chance. It's nothing to rush to go see, but it's an enjoyable flick at like 9:30 at night when you got nothing else to do.
Sounds like a serious version of The Cable Guy.
It's a less funny version of The Cable Guy.
That's why I said a serious version.
He is right, you know.
He is. I just wanted to be your friend.
Now, Ryan alluded to a bigger movie that came out this past week, and it is topping the box office charts, and that is Captain Marvel.
It is.
Who would like to take us through the plot of Captain Marvel? All
right. You want to take it, or you want me to?
You can do it.
I see it.
I mean, basically, this is the latest entry into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It features a character by the name of Carol Danvers that becomes a mighty hero. And when Earth gets involved in this war between these two alien races known as the
Kree.
The Kree and the Skrulls. And the Skrulls are shapeshifters. And Carol was in an accident where she's kind of been, I guess, raised by a Kree. And for all intents and purposes, she thinks she's a Kree. And she, you know, when Earth gets involved in this conflict, she starts having these crazy flashes of memory. And she ends up meeting a young S.H.I.E.L.D. agent named Nick Fury. And adventures are had.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much all you need to say.
Yeah. I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Brie Larson.
Yeah, Brie Larson plays Carol. I guess it's Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury. Ben Mendelsohn plays Talos, the villain of the movie. The head Skrull.
Yeah.
Jude Law is
kind of her mentor.
Yeah.
Jon Rogg.
Annette Bening is
the Supreme Intelligence.
That's right.
Who in the comics is a big green head?
I like Annette Bening.
Yeah, I like Annette Bening.
She's
yeah.
lovely.
At one point, they just kind of flashed her. At one point, I was saying, you're in the Benny.
I thought so.
But, this is a prequel for all intents and purposes. It takes place in 1995. This is the first time, like, Marvel's used the de-aging stuff before. This is the first time that I could think of where they used it through an entire movie.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty damn good. Like, Sam Jackson, I didn't realize in the 90s how much he looked like Jordan Peele. But, it's very much got the feel of like a 90s action movie.
Yeah, that's one of the things, and it's not a big complaint, but it's like every 3 minutes they remind you that it's in the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, because I guess millennials would have no idea.
Good soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Is it annoying or is it like clever?
It annoyed me a little bit.
Because like The Wedding Singer did it too much.
It didn't annoy me.
It didn't annoy me, yeah. Some things I just thought there's one kind of. I don't think this is a spoiler, but there's one thing that kind of reminded me of a gag. Like, all of y'all have seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's an ongoing gag in that movie involving Crispin Glover's arm getting ripped off that a gag in this movie kind of reminded me of.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away what it is, but I thought it was kind of, it made me chuckle a couple of times. Also, I think maybe the stand-up that everybody's talking about is Goose the Cat.
Yeah.
I've heard people talking about this damn cat. Like, what the hell? What is this cat doing in the movie? I've read people are talking about this cat's the best part of the movie.
You just got to come see it.
It's justified? Like, the cat's enjoying it?
Yeah, the cat.
And the cat's a character was a character in the comic. And originally, the cat's name was Chewie.
Which, I read
that. Because she's a fighter pilotness, they changed the Goose.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they said they thought it was a little too meta since Disney owns Star Wars, too. So
they didn't want to remind everybody Disney owns the world.
Yeah.
So, but it was Goose.
They had some good blockbuster references.
Oh. Yeah. Lots of memories there.
You're going to love the standee that gets blown to smithereens.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of little gags in this movie that work. And like I said, the chemistry between Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson I thought was great. Yeah. They played off each other very well.
And her chemistry with Maria Rambeau, that character.
Lashana Lynch.
Yeah, like their chemistry is really good, too. One of the things I absolutely loved about it is there's no love interest in the movie.
No.
There's more of like a bromance type, a girlmance with her and her friend. Like, she's standing on her own. It's all about Carol.
Absolutely.
And Bree's very good. There was like one or two lines where it was kind of like, oh, that was a little bit, I don't know if it was the director or the writer or whatnot. And I don't want to spoil it, but I can tell you individually what I mean by that. Overall, I really enjoyed the movie.
Why can't you share it with the audience?
Because they may not have seen it.
It's a spoiler
related thing. Yeah, okay. I don't want
to. Also, Clark Gregg returns as brand new Agent Coulson, which I had a big smile on my face. I'm curious to see this movie. If you were ever to sit and do a big marathon, like watching this one at the beginning, sort of thing, because there are a couple of little tie-ins to the other movies that I thought were clever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say I really enjoyed this movie. My wife loved it.
I really enjoyed it. And did you all tear up? Maybe not quite as much as Kevin Smith did at the Stan Lee scene.
That and the opening. Yeah, it got me. Yeah. It got me, John.
Yeah. They do. This isn't even a part of the movie. You know how they always have when it shows Marvel in the credits and the opening credits. The whole thing was just. All just Stan Lee's shots from every one of the movies.
All his cameos.
And then we just said, thank you, Stan?
Yeah. It got me.
Yeah.
It was a solid little film.
Yeah.
And also, it features a couple characters from Guardians of the Galaxy, which is one thing I wanted to mention. I was kind of impressed the way that the directors made this feel like a Guardians.
Yeah, and you and I talked about that on the drive the other night, too. How one of the problems that I had with Green Lantern was that it didn't lean into the weirdness as much. And I like that this one kind of did that. I mean, it opens up and it spends a lot of time in space and it leans into these very weird situations.
I mean, it's a sci-fi movie. I mean, it's from beginning to end. And the way that, like, when they go to the different planets and it has, like, the coordinates and stuff, it looked just like they did it in Guardians. So it's a very consistent feel with the cosmic Marvel movies.
Sounds like if y'all do another one of these trips, y'all should just record it and make that an episode of The Village. Y'all covered a lot of topics on this drive.
Lee Pace was in it as Ronan the Accuser.
And Jaman Huntsu.
And Jaman Huntsu was Korath.
Oh, yeah.
Grades?
I give it a 7 out of 10.
I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
I'd give it an 8 as well. I really enjoyed it.
So no real negatives?
No, I mean, it's like any other Marvel movie. I mean, it's got its little plot holes, but nothing that really destroys the movie or anything.
Yeah, it's a villain. There's a couple of internal
It's a fun movie. Issues,
but it's a lot of fun.
What about the
music was a lot of fun. And I will say, like, Clark Gregg, when they de-aged him, it looked really good, but it was a little weird looking.
What about the stupid after-credit stuff? Anything good?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the same formula. One is a stinger for the next movie, and the other one's a joke having to do with Captain Marvel. And I thought, actually, the joke was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny at the end.
So it's the Avengers is the next one, right?
Yeah. That's right.
So
I think one of the reasons, again, like we talked about how it maybe had a few little plot holes or whatever, but this movie, basically, for me, was like, I didn't know anything about Captain Marvel. All I knew was that Sam Jackson called Captain Marvel at the end of Infinity War. So I just went into it being, who's Captain Marvel? And this did a great job of preparing you for her role in Endgame.
And yeah, and like all y'all have said, Brie Larson, she owned this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason she has an Oscar on her.
So, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm assuming the end credit scene is her getting the call. I'm just guessing.
You're assuming incorrectly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, that happens quite a lot.
I mean, I'll tell you, first of all, it's great seeing a movie with a female lead, with a cool character with some cool powers. This movie is in no way Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's a lot better. Okay. This is a very solid movie. It's not my favorite Marvel movie, but it's by no means my least favorite. It's a very fun, cool
What is your least favorite, just incidentally?
My least favorite Marvel movie might be Thor the Dark World or Iron Man
2. Mine's Iron Man 2.
Yeah, Iron Man 2 for me.
Yeah, I'd go with Iron Man 2 or Spider-Man.
And I kind of liked all the footage of Brie Larson at the AMCs out in California serving popcorn and drinks.
She had a custom little tracksuit made for her.
Yeah. She just looked like she's having so much fun. And I love seeing all the little girls going up to her.
Just don't ask her out on a date.
Why not?
You haven't heard that story?
No.
What's the story? I'm kind of afraid.
This was a few years ago. She was flying somewhere, and a TSA officer made like a comment saying something like asking for her number, and she went on Twitter basically saying something about how not that she was she felt violated, but she felt like offended that this person felt that they had the audacity to come up and ask or something like that. And it led to like a Twitter debate because somebody's like, well, what else is a guy supposed to do if he likes a girl other than ask her out? And it led to this big thing where it basically led, like, you better get to know Brie Larson before you ask her out. That's pretty much what I'm saying.
I thought she was funny in Don John, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, yeah, I forgot she was. That was a good movie.
That's because she doesn't have any lines until, like, the very end.
And she's in 21 Jump Street. She was good, too.
Yeah. And I liked her in Kong Skull Island.
Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, what other Brie Larson movie? Well, the one she won the Oscar for was Room.
Oh, Room. She's so good in that.
But good actress. And I'm a welcome addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. And did we mention Ben Mendelsohn, how good he is in this movie?
He's good. Is it just nowadays they just say, okay, we got a big budget movie, we need a villain. Where's Ben Mendelsohn? Because he's in everyone. I mean,
And he's a different kind of villain.
Different kind of villain in everyone.
And he's a great actor.
Yeah.
But
he was the little redheaded guy in Quigley Down Under. The bad guy, one of the bad guys.
Yeah, absolutely solid, fun Marvel film.
Yeah,
and it's got me very even more excited for the Endgame.
So is that it? Do we have another one coming out before Endgame?
And Endgame comes out in like
next month.
Like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Now it is time to have a little bit of fun.
We haven't been having fun until now?
We're going to have a... I said a little bit...
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Lawrence.
Greg.
We are going to do a tournament-style bracket for you today.
It's been a while since
we've done it. Yeah, it has been a while. The subject tonight is going to be a battle royale.
That's not a tournament.
I don't fucking know.
A battle royal is everybody just gets into the ring.
Why did you call it battle royal?
It's a battle royale with cheese.
There you go.
That's what it's called.
Because we're going to do fast food places. And how we're going to do this is there's a couple of rules. We are going to nominate a fast food place. And we're going to decide on like a signature dish from that place. An item that will be representative
of the flagship that'll have to lead it to victory.
Exactly.
If it can happen.
And these restaurants have to be a chain that's available in all 50 states.
So in other words, we're not going to get Raising Cane's, In-N-Out Burger, Whataburger. They're all out.
Whataburger's not available everywhere?
It's not. Do you see one in Louisiana?
Yeah. Baton Rouge.
But they don't. Has Whataburger, I don't think. Really? I don't think they have them up north.
They don't.
Okay.
No Lucky Dogs.
Yeah, no Lucky Dog. Would you really have nominated Lucky Dog?
Alright, so that's it.
I mean, our rules are fairly simple.
They're very straightforward. So, how we're going to do this is we will each, I guess, go around the table and nominate one.
Okay.
And after we have the nominees, we'll decide on the signature dish that will represent that.
Or should we do it where we nominate one and then debate what the dish will be and then put it in the bracket?
I mean, that could be fun as well.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. Alright.
That sounds good. I'll have it.
And how many are we going to do here? Eight?
I drew up 16, but of course we'll see how it goes. Okay. We can always shorten it if we don't have enough. But there's lots of fast food places, so who knows how this is going to go.
There's not as many as you'd think that are available everywhere.
That's what I'm trying to make a little mental list over here.
Well, let's find out. Let's see what happens. We'll have to go to the internets and see.
Okay.
The World Wide Web.
True. I'll go first. I want to nominate a restaurant that's everyone's favorite late night drunk type food, the Taco Bell.
The Taco Bell.
When you got a hankering at 12:30 for something, you make a run for that border.
Okay. And as we all know from Demolition Man, in the future, all restaurants are Taco Bell.
So if I'm going to die, and someone says all you can have is Taco Bell, I'm going with the Mexican pizza.
I like that choice.
I would say there are two things that are probably emblematic of Taco Bell, and that is either the Nachos Bel Grande or a Burrito Supreme.
I also like the Nachos Bel Grande.
Lean towards the Nacho Bel Grande.
Let me explain why I have a problem with
cinnamon twists.
My problem with the Nachos Bel Grande is, and this is something I've learned, I find it better to get the Nachos Supreme, because if you get the Nachos Bel Grande, they tend to give you a shitload of chips, but not enough toppings. And I always end up at the end with like five or six chips.
Dry ass chips.
And nothing else.
Or they do it the other way and you finish the chips.
Yes. You got to have that perfect mix. So if you can get it made perfectly.
You need to become a trainer for Taco Bell.
I don't know if I could do it. I'm just, I know what I like.
I remember in high school, our friend Jared Foreman was obsessed with the sour cream caulking gun.
Oh, those are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I love when they do those at Izzo's and you get to see them.
John, what's your signature dish?
I don't know. I mean, I also like the chalupas and the gorditas.
We gotta have one.
But yeah,
I like the gordita crunch. The cheesy gordita crunch is always one of my favorites.
I like the
quesarito was one of my favorites.
I like those as well. But
is the grande meal nominatable?
The whole thing. I like a double decker taco every once in a while.
All it is, all the grande meal is now is like 10 tacos.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's not what it was.
Called the taco 12 pack now.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you said the first two things that popped in my head were Mexican pizza and Nachos Bel Grande.
I would go Nachos Bel Grande if I'm choosing those two.
I'm fine with that.
Nachos Bel Grande it is.
And the next nominee is
John.
Okay. I'm going to go with the first place I ever worked. Which is Wendy's, when I was 15 years old.
Now, the true tragedy of you nominating this is that we can't nominate the Cheddar Lover's Bacon Burger.
There was a sandwich that used to have, it was seasonal, and it was called the Cheddar Lover's Bacon Burger, and Greg and I used to get very excited every time that time of year we'd come around and we'd order it. And then they got
the
rid of
tragedy.
It.
Tragedy. John at Wendy's.
So I'm trying to think what would be the...
To me, it's the double.
The double.
It's the
double. Yeah, because you don't go and get one fucking
the
patty. Classic
double. The one patty is not or enough.
The junior bacon cheeseburger.
Or there's also the Big Bacon Classic. Is that?
And there's the Baconator, but that's too much.
That bacon, that yeah.
See, there's times when you're in the mood to be that decadent, but to me the double is the perfect median.
Someone I knew used to get a triple Baconator.
Now you say used to know. Is that because they're no longer with us because of eating these things?
Well, I mean, no, they're still alive, and I just haven't seen them in a while.
They might be dead.
But I mean, yeah, for all we know. But yeah, I used to get a triple patty Baconator.
Yeah. I remember that.
I'm gonna pick the double. What do y'all?
I'll go with the double. I like the double. I mean, the fact that it's called the classic double too.
It's square meat.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Chick-fil-A.
Ah.
I mean, yeah. What? It's never more depressing than when you're in the mood for a good chicken sandwich and you're looking at Sunday. Yeah. Right?
That happened to me recently. I went to go to work and I was like, you know what? I'm really early. I'll go get breakfast. I've never had Chick-fil-A breakfast.
Oh,
like,
that chicken biscuit.
Fuck it, Sunday.
Yeah.
That chicken biscuit is epic.
It is.
So, I mean, do we nominate the nuggets or do we do a sandwich?
I think just classic number one.
I think the original chicken sandwich.
Classic chicken sandwich.
All right.
Sandwich. I'll keep it simple and go with the most popular one. I'll go with McDonald's.
Okay.
And
now, this is can be kind of a debatable because it's either going to be the Big Mac or it's going to be the quarter pounder.
I think it's the quarter pounder.
Or is it Chicken McNuggets?
Is it the McDLT?
Oh, that used to be so good. That used to be my favorite when it was around.
Or the fish filet.
You'll get nothing and like it.
They have every single ingredient necessary for a McDLT.
I'm going to go with, for my nominee, I'm going to go with the quarter pounder. I don't know what y'all...
With cheese?
Of course. What do y'all?
I'm going to go with Big Mac.
Big Mac?
Just because when you say Big Mac...
I'm with Glenn on this. Big Mac is probably the way I'd go.
But what's weird to me is, like, the Big Mac seems like, oh, that's like that's the one that everybody thinks of, but I don't know anyone ever who gets a Big Mac.
My mom.
I get a Big Mac.
Do you get a Big Mac? Yeah, okay. Get a Big Mac.
You had a Big Mac, actually, before the podcast not that long ago.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, George. I haven't had a Big Mac in a long time.
Millions and millions. I'm fine with that. Let's put the Big Mac in.
Big Mac? Okay.
Back to Greg.
Definitely not the filetto fish.
I like a filet fish.
I like a filet fish, too.
I like the fish sandwich at Wendy's.
That's one of the few things they'll say when they put the cheese on it. Unnecessary.
Yeah, you don't really taste it with the tartar sauce.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like no conversation about fast food can be possible without discussing the Colonel.
So, stop for just a minute. What's the deal with RoboCop Colonel?
Lord the fuck only knows. I have not.
Is it Peter Weller?
It is Peter Weller. Yes.
RoboCop
sounds like him.
I mean, he's right. He's not wrong.
But like they keep getting like okay, the Reba McEntire Colonel just kind of weirded me out for a second. But the Jason Alexander one was fine. But when I saw sent me the message, I hadn't seen it yet. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? Then I saw it, and I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong here?
But before, they were just people and actors, or maybe even musicians, that were just playing the Colonel. Now it's a character who is also another character, and it's too much.
Because I think of the Key and Peele sketch. That sketch where they were coming up with ideas for Gremlins 2, and they're like,
oh,
put it in
God.
The movie. So that's
yeah. I just add one vegetable Gremlins.
I'm just and you talking about adding RoboCop as a colonel? It's in the commercial.
Now I don't think to me I'm gonna go with a 2-piece original recipe, but I know John, you like the extra crispy.
But I think it's clear. I mean, I don't even know if we have to say the number of pieces, but I mean, just like
yeah.
the
original recipe.
Original recipe chicken is probably, I think, is probably the
okay.
That's
original
the
recipe.
Thing. I've never
definitely
had, but I've heard a lot of people
down.
Like the pot pies. I've heard those are very good.
They're very good, but you know, it's a pot pie. It's kind of an old person's food.
So are we going to nominate Piccadilly?
Did I tell you that story about when I went to the KFC / Long John Silver's when it existed?
Oh my God,
we were,
this is glorious.
So we were getting ready to go on our trip to England, and we've been talking about all this, what we're gonna do, and everybody was talking about fish and chips, and I was like, that sounds kind of good. And Karen was out of town, and I was just kind of by myself, and I was like, this is before we had the baby, and I was like,
you really want some triangle shaped
fish? I was like, fish and chips, just greasy battered fish and chips sounds kind of good. I'm gonna go to Long John Silver's. So I get there, I get in the drive thru, and it's a combination Long John Silver's and KFC. And I order the, you know, whatever the number one is or whatever on there. And I just hear his voice come and I go, I'm sorry, sir, we are all out of Long John Silver's for today. I was like, you're all out of the restaurant? And he's like, yeah, we only have KFC products. I was like, all right, well, I'll go somewhere else. Bye.
Jesus.
They were out of the entire restaurant.
And how, like, Green Book just made me want to
Yeah.
So who's up to nominee? Is it John?
Who nominated the Colonel? Is that
Greg? So it's John.
Okay. I'm going to do Burger King. Good old Burger King. And I mean, the Whopper.
With cheese.
The flame grilled Whopper is king.
And how do you like the new commercials with the creepy Burger King guy dressed as the Colonel?
I don't know that I've seen that. I don't know that I want to say it.
I've seen that either.
Because they've got a grilled chicken sandwich.
Do you remember the commercial for the cheddar crisp bacon tender ranch with Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yes, I do. I didn't until you said with Darius Rucker, and I'm like, oh yeah.
I didn't think that sentence was ever going to end when you started describing the sandwich, and then it was like Darius Rucker from Hootie the Blowfish. I was like, when's this going to stop? It's like a never-ending sandwich. The chicken bacon
the never-ending sandwich made of a tree.
Burger King, like all these different restaurants, they have these little special things, and they, you know, some of them seem interesting. Burger King has the weirdest ones.
Yeah,
there
was that Whopper in Japan that had like a black bun.
Yeah, but I mean, like they'll have like chicken fries, but they're breaded with like Cheeto crumbs, and so, and it's like it's no thanks.
Okay. They swing for the fences when they try to get you in there.
But I do like to point out, and it, just because it aggravates my wife at this point, every time they have the commercial on where you get 10 nuggets for 99 cents, I always go, 10?
Yeah, I know.
For 99 cents? And she's like, shut up.
It's an incredible deal. Dude.
I'm going to go with Arby's.
Arby's.
Oh. We got one on the West Bank now.
I know.
And
I have not been yet.
Now this one is interesting. Because
it used to always, I would always say Big Montana. They don't have that.
I mean, they don't call it that.
It's something else now.
It's just like you can get like the different size roast beef sandwiches. Yeah.
It's an Arby's. I
always liked the cheddar, the one with the cheddar with the onion bun. Was it the
And I think that was the Big Montana. I kind of
like that chicken corn on blue too. It's pretty good.
Oh, we gotta. I think if we're saying Arby's,
I just wanted to put it out there.
So we're just gonna let's just put the Big Montana or what version of it?
Yeah, whatever
exists.
They call it now.
Yeah.
Big Montana asterisk.
Montana.
I would like to have seen Montana.
When I nominate this one, John and I don't even have to communicate, and I think we both know what the signature dish is from this place.
I already know what you're gonna say, and I already know what the dish is. Let me just say, is it that one right there that's on my list?
It is that one right there. It is Pizza Hut.
It is Pizza Hut, and the dish is going to be the thin crust meat lovers pizza. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct.
Is that?
I'd say pepperoni lovers.
No, it's too greasy.
And fuck a thin crust.
Oh, you got to have the thin crust.
You and I, we have this argument all the time. No.
It's not an argument. It's you being wrong and me being right.
I mean, I like the thin crust, but when I think of Pizza Hut, for some reason, I always think of them inventing the stuffed crust.
That's a very
but
good
I don't
point
think
too.
It's a signature anymore.
But they I'm were the first sticking ones. With what we said, but also I always think of the personal pan pizzas are always.
Yeah.
Now they,
especially when I was a
the
kid.
The Book It Club.
The Book It Club, exactly.
How many books did you read to get your personal pan
however
pizza?
Many it took. I don't remember, but I got because I had pizza every time.
Yeah, I just remember all those commercials from when I was a kid, and I was like, they put cheese in the crust, Mom.
Let me defend me and John's stance on this because we have fantasy football drafts, and I remember a couple years we've gotten Pizza Hut, and we've debated, you know, let's get like some thin crust, some hand toss, and the thin crust is always the one that's gone first. So
I will say that their thin crust is better now than it used to be. When I was a kid, when you bit into it, it cracked, and it sounded like a shattering.
You know what? Let's just go ahead and agree that it should be the meat lovers, but the whatever crust people want.
There you go.
Meat lovers pizza.
I like that. I like that.
That's a good compromise.
There you go. That's what we do.
Oh yeah.
It's on you now.
Nice.
Well,
so we're at 8. Do we have enough to go to double that?
I think we do.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with a place that maybe it's near and dear to your heart. I have no idea. But the Subway sandwich franchise.
Oh, I forgot about Subway.
Because you go there to eat fresh. Now, I will say, just like...
You said that with no, like, pause or hint of humor.
When you talked about them being all out of Long John Silver's, I think it's important to point out that I once went to the Subway in the local mall over here.
They were out of bread.
And they ran out of bread. And I was like, well, You ran out of bread, and then we have cookies.
Time to keto it up, brother.
I'm like, what are you going to like slap the Cold Cut Trio on my wrist?
On the cookie?
Did you just give away a spoiler that you're going to nominate the Cold Cut Trio?
Oh, no, 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 no.
What's the sandwich of choice?
That's a great question, because there are kind of a couple of go-tos. There's, like, the sweet onion chicken teriyaki is really good.
I don't think it's a signature of something.
I like the Italian BMT.
I was going to say the BMT.
That's what I
always
get, too. But what's funny for me, growing up, I didn't used to go to Subway a lot when I was younger, and it was always, like, every now and then I'd go, and it would be like my dad would say, oh, let's go to Subway and get meatball sandwiches. So
I was just about
for a long time, that's all I ever had at Subway.
I was just about to say, for me, it's either the cold cut, the Italian, or the meatball.
For me, it's meatball or Italian BMT.
We all seem to be agreeing on Italian BMT.
Well, because I'd say you can get a meatball sub a bunch of places. Subway kind of... BMT, they kind of came up with
Subway,
that.
We go with the BMT. Murph?
Okay. I'm trying to think, what are the good fast food places? I got two on this list here that I made, but neither one of them are good. So
we are getting to the bottom of the barrel when it comes to
fast food. One of them actually was good, but I didn't have enough of it before the one right here closed down to remember like what the signature thing would be. So you guys, I'll leave it up to you guys. Hardee's / Carl's Jr.
So, yeah. Wait, is it?
It's just like how Rally's and Checkers are the same restaurant, and they're just different in different places.
And... Is Rally's on your list too? Because
it is.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's on the list here.
Hardee's, they had probably just like their number one, just their burger. Yeah. It wasn't just the Hardee's burger.
Because didn't it come on pretzel? Did it come on pretzel bread?
No, the Carl's Jr. side of things. They had it, but it wasn't with stupid ass burgers.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Stupid-ass. So for Hardee's, I say, would you go with the number one?
There was one that I had one time that had like it had bacon on it, and then it had. Like this kind of like bacon jam on it, and it was like bacon like three or four
honestly,
different ways.
The Hardee's that was there before it closed. The thing I got the most there was the burritos.
Yeah. Like, I used to get the Mexican.
I never got the Mexican stuff from there.
So the burgers actually weren't too bad.
They were pretty good.
Let's go with the number one for Hardee's. Okay. All right, dude.
All right. Well, I'm kind of surprised we haven't said this yet, considering we're from New Orleans. But I'm gonna go Popeyes. And what you'd say, like, maybe so we did original recipe for KFC and just want to do, you want to do spicy? Is that
there? Yeah, I mean, that chicken's bona fide. So,
you know what's really funny is I had Popeyes when I was in New York and it tasted completely different. And then not long after that, I was watching something and it was on WGN. It might have been like a Cubs game or something. It was on WGN and they had a commercial for Popeyes and it says, with Chicago original recipe. And I was like, what the hell?
What? The whole so it's Louisiana kitchen.
Yeah.
Apparently, Popeyes in different places has their own recipes.
All right. It's called Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen.
That's for goddamn ridiculous.
All right, moving on.
We didn't pick. What
he said, the spicy.
Just spicy chicken. Spicy? I didn't hear. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to nominate Domino's.
Okay.
And I feel like it's just pepperoni and sausage. Just the original.
Hand-tossed.
Anybody got any debates about that?
No.
I can't really think of anything for Domino's.
Right. They have some cheese bread now that's actually really good.
You're
like,
right.
It's like the stuffed cheese bread. There's one. It was like feta and spinach. It was really good.
We got four more slots.
Because I made the joke about it earlier, let's go ahead and say Rally's.
Okay.
Because you got to eat.
You got to eat.
And also because the other night I was driving home and I was like, oh, it's got no line. I went there and I had a Big Buford.
I was about to say you better nominate the Big Buford.
And it's a delightful little sandwich. However, it's
good hangover food.
The spicy chicken.
The spicy. So yeah, okay. This is just a pro tip for you guys. McDonald's used to have a Cajun McChicken sandwich.
Oh, that was very good,
and it was delicious. It was my favorite sandwich. The hot and spicy does not compare. Well, I've been searching for that sandwich for years, and when I went one day and got a spicy chicken sandwich from Rally's, it's almost like they bought the recipe or something because it tastes very, very close to the Cajun McChicken. There's also, and you and I had discussed this before. Every now and again, they'll have a sizzling smoked sausage, which is basically just. A smoked sausage on a hot dog bun with mustard, and it is divine. You can usually get two of them for $3. So, yes, Big Buford.
So, it's my turn, and I'm trying to think of another fast food place.
Okay, I got it.
They got Sonic. They got...
Oh, I forgot about Dairy
Queen.
Let's do Sonic. Okay. The Sonic, yeah.
And Frito Pie is the clear... The Frito Pie, clearly. I'm joking. Coney.
I think the Sonic burger.
I like the Coney's.
The Coney's are good, yeah. We'll do the Coney's because there's a lot of burgers on here.
A braise of Coney's.
All right, so we got two more slots.
All right, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to do the Panda Express.
Yeah, that's probably available everywhere.
And
it's got to be the orange chicken, right?
I kind of like their the almond shrimp.
Is that the one, like the honey Amish?
Yeah, the honey Amish.
That
Amish
is really good. And that's honestly that's all I really like there. I wasn't a big fan of their fried rice and.
I like that almond shrimp.
Okay, so we're going almond shrimp. So we got one more spot open.
And it falls to you.
The one I was thinking of.
Fungus.
What is it available in all states?
No, I don't think
not
so.
All of them.
Oh, I thought that was.
What about Chipotle?
I don't know.
Chipotle is another one. I don't think it's available in all states.
Well, let's just make this more difficult for me then.
Well, we're scraping that barrel, we told you.
Well, this is the last one anyway.
How about, like, they got Jimmy John's? There's,
Is Jimmy John's available everywhere?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll nominate that then. And for Jimmy John's, for me, the signature is number 9. The Italian nightclub.
You see, I like the Ultimate Porker.
I like the Ultimate Porker, too. That's usually what
well,
I
if two people,
I always get the Hunter's Club.
Fuck that. I'll go with the Porker because
the hell you say.
Well, two people agreed, so we'll go with the
Porker.
You
say fuck that.
All right, let's get this tournament started because just nominating took a lot longer than I thought.
But that was fun.
Just like that's the one you were talking about on.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so it's the honey walnut shrimp.
Honey walnut
from
shrimp.
Panda Express.
All right, here we go. You ready for the tournament? This is gonna be fun. All right, the first battle: KFC original recipe chicken versus a Hardee's number one.
KFC.
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 All right, 1-2.
The Colonel.
I also agree.
I mean, when you get the RoboCop Colonel.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
But like, have you actually seen the commercials?
I have, yeah.
Where like, he finds the guy that's hungry and throws a chicken tender into his mouth?
I'm telling you, it's...
And it's like, he like fires one into his mouth?
It's in the commercial.
Ryan, are you going to go look this commercial up afterwards?
No, I'm going to probably eat something. All right. the Pizza Hut Meat Lovers versus the Jimmy John's Porker.
Oh,
they're two very different things.
But it's Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut. Glenn hasn't said anything.
I think I would actually go with Jimmy John's, to be honest.
Well, he didn't win anyway.
I know he didn't.
All right. The Arby's Big Montana versus a Domino's pepperoni and sausage pizza.
Big Montana.
Did everybody just say Arby's at once?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I'm going to vote Domino's just because but Arby's moves on.
Sounds like an Arby's name.
All right, the Panda Express Asian Almond Walnut Shrimp versus the Taco Bell Nachos Bel Grande.
It's the Honey Walnut Shrimp is
whatever.
What it's called.
And it is the Taco Bell's...
I'm going Taco Bell.
Nacho Bel Grande that's going to win this one.
I'm going to go with Taco Bell just because I like that one entree there, but I don't like any of the stuff that comes with it, really. I'm not a big fan of Panda Express.
You see, I think I would have actually gone with Panda Express.
All right, so it's 3-1.
Yeah, it's 3-1.
All right. The Burger King Whopper versus the Rally's Big Buford.
Whopper.
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 It's flame broiled.
He's not wrong. The McDonald's Big Mac versus the Sonic Coney.
Coney.
Ooh, John said that so fast.
Yeah.
This
is a little bit more difficult.
I'm going Big Mac.
I'm going to go Coney.
I'll go with Coney as well.
Man, that's got to be an upset.
You got a brace of Coney.
Good hot dog.
I'm sure that your sister will be healthy.
The Sonic Coney just knocked out the Big Mac in the first round.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to
Maybe we should have did the McNuggets.
This tournament's going to be controversial already.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Wendy's Double versus Popeye's Spicy Chicken.
Popeye's.
I got to go with the Wendy's Double on that one.
Popeye's moves on. All right. Last first round battle.
And we're flying through it.
We got to. We spent so long just setting it up.
We did talk about them for a long time.
The Chick-fil-A sandwich versus the Subway Italian BMT.
Ooh. Chick-fil-A for the BMT.
I gotta go Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. All right.
That was a hard one, though.
Yeah.
I really like the BMT.
We're into the second round. Ooh, this is like next level battles here.
Oh.
The KFC original recipe versus the Taco Bell Nachos Bel Grande. You can get them in the same restaurant.
And yeah, I was about to say, like, especially when they're at the combined restaurants.
I think I'm actually going to go Taco Bell.
And it's against the spicy chicken?
No, it's just the original recipe
versus
KFC.
Oh, KFC.
Versus.
Oh, then yeah, I'm going with Taco Bell.
Yeah, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. All right. The Pizza Hut Meat Lovers versus the Sonic Coney. Oh. I'm voting Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Yeah, Pizza Hut.
All right.
It's Club Blotation.
And just incidentally, we left off, for good reason, the racist guy. Papa John?
Yeah.
Papa John.
And Little Caesars.
But I'm just going to say this. We didn't leave him off because he's racist. I mean, that's the reason, but also just because his pizza sucks.
Yeah.
That's very true.
All right.
I do like the little, like, mini breadstick pizza things over there. Those aren't too bad.
All right. The Burger King Whopper versus Popeye's Spicy Chicken.
Popeye's.
I think I'm actually going to go with a Whopper.
Yeah, I prefer eating a Whopper to...
Glenn, get it out. I'm voting Popeyes. We got to randomize this thing.
Okay.
So it's a tie, our first tie.
I like how you showed Glenn get it out before you... So you
yeah, I was like, you very like,
whip
worried.
It, whip it out?
I mean, take it out.
Take it out.
All right, so what's odd between Popeyes and Whopper? Probably the Popeyes. Most people who eat Popeyes are pretty odd compared to the Whopper.
Are they?
Like Whopper, anybody who gets Burger King is kind of, you know, a typical person.
Sure.
That's a good argument.
Let's go with
it is the Burger King.
Well, although I will say the Burger King commercials, I think, are more odd.
You know what? You may be right, so maybe we should switch it.
Burger King's odd.
Burger King's odd.
Because of that creepy...
Popeyes is even.
The King is odd. All right. Yeah. So let's randomize it. Let's see. Here we go.
Popeyes is bona fide.
34.
Popeyes moves on.
Popeyes moves
via
on.
Via tiebreaker. All right. Last second round battle. The Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich versus the Big Montana of Arby's. This is...
Oh, this is a tough one.
Not for me. This is Chick-fil-A.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I do love that.
I love the Big Montana.
I prefer Arby's.
So, it's up to Glenn.
I'm going
to
say Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A moves on. We're into the final four. And it's not a final four I really thought we'd see. Taco Bell's Nacho Bel Grande versus the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich is the first one.
Chick-fil-A.
Nacho Bel Grande.
Greg goes in that. I think I'm leaning Greg. I got to go Taco Bell as well.
And so, I was leaning Chick-fil-A.
Randomize it. All right, so definitely Taco Bell is odd.
The randomizer. I'm like I'm a Darkwing Duck villain.
Taco Bell is odd.
Taco right. Bell is the odd. As he randomizes with a number...
51.
Taco Bell
moves along.
So TB advances through the randomizer.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah.
The
final.
All right. Last battle of the semifinals. Spicy chicken from Popeyes versus a Meat Lover's Pizza from Pizza Hut.
Meat Lover's Pizza.
Talk about calories.
How many calories?
This is hard. So Greg votes
this
pizza.
This one's hard.
I'm voting Popeyes.
Just because, like, pizza is like, Popeyes can go get a piece of chicken for myself. Like, I'm not going to get a whole pizza.
Well, you could.
But I ate off pizza for days.
That's...
I mean, you can also get a personal pan.
Oh...
So me and Greg have voted. It's split. We're waiting on John and Glenn.
I'm going to go with Pizza Hut.
To cut the tension
I'm
with
I'm going to do
knife.
Popeyes.
Oh, we got to randomize this, too?
Yep.
So for the second time
battles
in a row...
getting harder.
All right, so...
They roll their way into the semis.
So what's odd between Popeyes and Pizza Hut?
I mean, we've established that Popeyes is bona fide chicken, so it's got its...
It's even.
Yeah.
It's even.
Okay, so Pizza Hut's going to be the odd this time.
All right. 53.
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut it is.
And we have tuberculosis.
That was a hard decision, so I'm glad the randomizer made it for
Popeyes
me.
Popeyes went through two tiebreakers. All right, so the championship. This is it. We determined if you're drunk and out and hungry, this is what you need. It's going to be between the Taco Bell Nachos Bel Grande and a Meat Lover's
and
Pizza.
And for me, this is not even a question. It is Pizza
it's
Hut.
It's Pizza Hut for me. As
really? Because
well.
I was going to say
I was thinking
Taco Bell.
We got to randomize the championship.
Son of a
or
bitch.
Should we go, you want to ask one of your children again?
That's fine. Let me go get Gavin. Come
on! Fabian!
Come on! We need you, buddy. We
gotta go right now.
You've been pulled into the show, sir.
All right, so I'd like to welcome my son Gavin to the show. He has
a very...
Say hi.
Hello.
All right, so here's the deal. All right, are you listening?
Yes.
Because you don't listen a lot. Are you listening right now?
Yes.
All right, so here's the deal. We're trying to determine the best fast food meal. Now, I don't want your opinion because we know you like the cheeseburger from McDonald's. I didn't even make the list. All right. So, here's the deal.
He looks so defeated when you just told
him
that.
The championship match, we can't decide. Would you pick a Taco Bell Nachos Bel Grande, which and you probably never had, but it's nachos with cheese and stuff on it.
And stuff.
And meat.
Or would you prefer... a Meat Lover's Pizza from Pizza Hut.
I'll go with Taco Bell.
There it is.
Out of the mouths of babes.
There it is. Thank you, Gavin.
Thank you, Gavin.
Good job. So there it is.
There it is.
And there it is.
Spare no expense.
It really is the best drunk meal to get a Taco
Bell. Well, because that's what got my decision. When you said when you're out and you're drunk, and what do you want? And I want Taco Bell.
I hope that wasn't why Gavin picked it, but...
Could be. We don't know what goes on in the
we don't
school.
Know. So there you have it. Taco Bell Nachos Bel Grande.
Well, this was the
make a run for the board. Guys. You care the Taco Bell.
I forgot about that fucking chihuahua.
Forgot about that.
You remember when Phantom Menace came out, and it was the three restaurants, right?
It was KFC, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell.
That's when we went to Pizza Hut looking for like R2-D2, and they said, "We do not have R2-D2. We have Yoda and Mr. Binks."
Cups, yeah. And we all got Yoda.
Yeah. All right. It is now time to nominate this week's awesome villager. Gentlemen, who are your nominees?
I'm going to nominate Emmy Rossum for kind of all the reasons I said earlier. She's just done such a great job with Shameless, and last night was her last, we're recording this on Monday, Sunday night was her final episode of Shameless, and she's just done a great job all the way through the show, ups and downs, and she's had a great range of acting in it. So
I liked her in Poseidon.
Yeah, and Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, she was good in Phantom, huh?
Greg, who you got?
I'm going to nominate Captain Marvel herself. Brie Larson, for all the reasons we mentioned earlier, fantastic actress. So Brie Larson.
I'm going to nominate Ricky Gervais because of his amazing show, Afterlife. We only watched the first episode, but I am hooked, and I'll probably finish it all in the next 2 days because it's only 6 episodes, and it's awesome.
And I'm going to nominate Mr. Alex Trebek because we didn't mention it, but it got kind of some rough news this week that he was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he put out a video kind of talking to the fans, and he was just so upbeat and professional and stoic talking. It was like you wouldn't talking about such a scary diagnosis, and you'd swear he was just reading a clue about geography or something.
My favorite part of it is when he made the joke about how, and besides, I have to beat it because I'm contracted for 3 more years.
I mean, he's just such a class act, and I mean, he's been around for, you just watch Jeopardy every day with this man. So I'm going with Alex Trebek. I'm betting on him to beat the odds and beat this disease. And I just love the way he handled himself when he made this, the announcement.
I'm convinced he's going to be all right. But when he does retire, do you think Ken Jennings should take over?
Me and Sandra were actually talking about who would take over, and that wouldn't be bad. Although I also like that Austin guy, the one that was the bartender that was on there for a long time. Oh, yeah. He was kind of entertaining.
Or Turd Ferguson.
just replace him with Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
You gentlemen have certainly made this a difficult decision because these are all really good nominees.
All right, well, if you're not ready, I'll go because when I saw Alex Trebek's announcement, I immediately was like, that's who I want to be when I grow up, even though I'm already kind of a grown man, but still.
Are you, though?
Probably not. But I just, the way he handled that, it was just so impressive and just exudes confidence and, self-assuredness. And I just was blown away by him. And plus, he's been a part of my childhood. Since I was a little kid, So to me, without question, picking Alex Trebek.
I was kind of going back and forth, Alex Trebek and Ricky Gervais, but I mean, Alex Trebek.
I'll go with Brie Larson.
You guys are kind of talking me into it because I'm on the fence with all of them. But again, what you just said about Trebek, to have a show going on for that long, like when we nominated Bob Barker, it's kind of the same thing. This is a guy, like Glenn said, it's a staple of your childhood. You watch Jeopardy, and you sit down, how does this man know all this, even though he has the cards? But, Jeopardy's a game I still play. Actually, for one of the things I did for work as a little contest is we made a Jeopardy game in a keynote presentation and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Trebek is this week's awesome villager.
So, this week's awesome villager, who is
Alex Trebek.
We're pulling for you, Trebek.
As is everyone.
You answered go, and you wagered for it.
He had a really funny gag on the X-Files, too, where he played a man in black.
Oh, that's right.
That was really funny.
It was him and Jesse Ventura.
He was on How I Met Your Mother a bunch, too.
Yeah. They had a bunch of random Canadian people.
Yeah.
And I kind of remember something. Was it April Fool's Day where he hosted Wheel of Fortune and Pat Sajak hosted Jeopardy?
That's hilarious.
Like one episode, yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is they're doing that that behind the music with Robin Sparkles on How I Met Your Mother. And when they ask every Canadian person that they have in there, where were you when you found out about the band breaking up? Which Tim Hortons were you at and which donut were you having? It was some good stuff.
Yeah. So,
Alex Trebek, please come hang out with us.
Definitely.
Love you, man. Bring your cards, quizzes.
Yep.
And
we love you, man.
All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Please remember to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, like our page on Facebook, and subscribe, listen, give us feedback about this and other shows.
Tell us about your favorite fast food place.
Yeah, we're sure we're going to hear something about this, at least. You know,
I'm sure we forgot something.
Yeah, yeah, we'd love to know, because like John was saying, towards the end of it, I was having trouble thinking, too, and you get random ones.
That's Quiznos. I forgot about them.
Yeah.
But they're kind of disappearing. I think they overextended themselves.
Nowhere are Quiznos.
And, I mean, should we have nominated Starbucks?
Nah,
they're not really food. It's just a beverage.
And they're not really fast.
They're not fast, and it's not really a meal.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week. This has been Greg.
John.
Glenn.
Ryan.
See you out there.